This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio or, like in this episode, at venues around the city, and we get to listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, and you might even find your next favorite album or song. Please make sure that you rate and review the show so that other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Nico Case. I'm Megan Suma, and I'm here with host Alisa Ali at WFUV. Alisa, this was one of our special exclusive marquee member shows. We got to hear Nico Case do a full 50-minute set, which was amazing. But you also got to catch up with her in the green room before the show. You guys talk about so many interesting things, AI in the landscape of music, some upcoming projects that she's working on. What was it like to catch up with her and talk about this new record, which is, she has so many solo albums out, and this just kind of adds to that catalog?
Well, it was an absolute thrill and pleasure because I've been a fan of Nico's for a long time through her work with The New Pornographers and also all of her great solo albums. So I was a bit nervous, but she could not have been more welcoming and kind and thoughtful and present. And it really, you know, speaking of, this new album is really like a gift to us. It's so wonderful. Neon Gray, Midnight Green. There's so many great songs on this record that I can't really even pick just one. I mean, the record talks about grief and love, and she always in her music touches on the natural world, which I very much appreciate as well. And we talked about that in our interview backstage, and we also she really cracked me up. She's very funny.
She was.
I mean, she's such a great thinker, you know, and you think that a thinker or someone who has so many deep thoughts, they're going to be really serious. But she's actually a very funny person and a very personable human being. And I really enjoyed meeting her. And the concert that she put on was incredible. The record has a really cool orchestra on it as well. But she didn't bring the orchestra. You can't just bring an orchestra.
You can't.
To every show.
Unfortunately.
That becomes very expensive. But she did bring a bunch of her friends to perform with her. And the first song that we're going to hear in this set is Louise.
Braid your pretty fingers into mine. Cat's cradle. Stretch your arms overhead to fall. Arch them into a doorway to that impossible blue. You slip through unafraid to a much darker shade. That's the color of your name. Journey to the center of a hornet's nest. And immerse through the doorway that impossible blue. Where the day turns to night and the night into morning, our silhouettes resplendent, now formidable 3D. That's the power, that is the power, that's the power of our love. Never knew and see. could hold a piece of light that you believed into being. Believe to life and let it breathe. So braid your pretty fingers into mine.
That's Nico Case live from the Sheen Center. I am Alisa Ali. What an absolute pleasure and joy it is for me to be hanging with you, Nico Case, someone that I've really admired and listened to your music in so many different forms, like the New Pornographers, your Katie Lang Laura Veers project I also enjoyed, and obviously all of your solo albums. You're up to your 9th one. That was a song from your new album, Neon Gray, Midnight Green, which is out now. Congratulations.
Thank you. I am honored to be here. And this is the first time we've played these songs for anybody, anywhere, ever.
But they've probably been in your head for a long time.
Yeah, they've been in my head, but you know, the record is a totally different thing. Like, we have to reinvent them for live. So we've been scrambling for the past week trying to figure out how to create the same sonic space and shape, but with way less people, because, you know, an orchestra.
Right.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, I feel
really
like
it adds 10 pounds on a recording.
It's very true. Yeah. So you do have an orchestra on this album, and it's something that I don't think you've had an orchestra before.
No, never.
What was it about this record that made you feel like you wanted to have this really big orchestral sound?
Well, I'd wanted to have one for quite a long time, but the way things are in music and the way things are going, you know, I got probably the last advance anyone's ever going to get to make a record. And I thought, I want to make sure that I do this now and get people playing every instrument. Not that I have anything against using a synthesizer string section or a keyboard or something, because I think that stuff sounds cool too. But I wanted to remind people that humans playing together sounds really, really good.
Yeah. And you've talked a little bit about how people don't, and I'm completely with you on this as well, people don't appreciate handmade or human made as much as they used to. You know, mm-hmm. It's so easy to artificially make things. And again, same with you. I'm down with synths and I'm down with electronic music. But at the same time, it was really important for you to kind of, you know, scrawl on the bathroom wall, humans were here, right?
Yeah, very much so.
Tell me a little bit about your thoughts on, you know, our inevitable, you know, robot takeover.
Well, I don't know. Like, I haven't really spent any time being worried about that.
Oh, that's great.
As far as, you know, being taken over from musicians, I don't like the non-consensual nature of being mined for AI and teaching AI without consent. I think that's horrible. I don't think AI can write a song that will make you pull your car over and cry, though. Like, just, you know, everyone's like, did you hear about that band that was a fake band and everybody liked it? It's like, yeah, I did hear about that, and it's not news. It's really a boring story, and it's not surprising or shocking or interesting at all. It's just kind of a sad, soggy footnote.
It really is a sad situation. I want to talk a little bit about some of the songs on this record. One of my favorite songs from the record, it's Rusty Mountain, right? And you've got a line in there that says, take your radio and shove it. So I, as a radio station, I must approach you on this.
Well, it's not about radio stations. It's about the heteronormative love song is what it's about.
Yeah.
And how that is kind of the only thing that gets on the radio.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about independent radio. I'm talking all about, radio, commercial. You know, your standard radio.
Yeah.
All there is like, it's a sea of mediocre love songs.
Yes, it really is.
And, you know, it's hard for queer people to get in there and feel welcome. Or just, you know, like there's lots of songs out there that anybody can put on and wear and feel about romance and love and stuff like that. But yeah, I don't hear enough of that, though. The more ambiguous, the more, like, I love, one thing I love about the really old country music is, like, the Carter family. They would never change the pronouns in songs.
Right, I love that.
So, you know, Sarah Carter would be singing about her girl up the country and all this stuff. And I was like, what a lovely way to respect the song and also leave it wide open. So if people weren't safe being out about things, like, they could still have a song in their house and in their heart that they could wear, like a vest, and feel that hug and that warmth from it.
Yeah.
I want more of that.
Me too. And, you know, writing love songs, like you've said, it's almost like a daunting task because there's so many of them out there. And, you know, the Carters have written some great ones. I mean, there's some great love songs out there.
Yeah.
So to write a good love song is almost like, how am I going to do this? And in that song, Rusty Mountain, you say we deserve better than a love song. However, this album, actually, plenty of love songs on it.
Yeah. I mean, they're all love songs, really. But again, not the man on woman romantic love song. Like, love is so, it's so pliable and so, it's like a kaleidoscope.
Love songs mostly sound the same, an exercise in futility for me. There's a few who get away with it. They've some divergent insight I can't find. They deride me. No one forced you to fall in love like you did. No one tricked you. You weren't faking it. But they got cold feet or changed their mind, 'cause they got scared or they got bored. Now we're in this boring story that feels unjustly spoiled. It's shelf life, insult to injury. Did you tell them you're not gonna build this house? Leave the nails in a pile to form a rusty mountain. Some people need to hurt somebody, anyone. But there's well have been a stranger, you may as well have been one. So I round on this chorus with my most unholy gorge. Take your radio and shove it, all your he's and she's and rhyming love. I'm not special and I never was. No cruelty made a muse of me. See, two-fisted son of a bitch with no sickening nostalgia for this. Same old cloying story, the same flypaper tongues. We all deserve better than some love song. So tell them you're not gonna build this high. Leave the nails in a pile and form a rug. I am not a stranger if I ever was. Gonna build this rusty mountain till we smoke cigarettes on the sun. We all deserve better than a love song.
Nico Case, live here at the Sheen Center. I am Alisa Ali speaking with Nico Case, another great song from the new record Neon Gray Midnight Green, which is out now. It is, Nico, your first album in about, first solo album about 7 years, but you are very busy person. You've been doing a lot of stuff, like not to mention new pornographers, but you're also working on a musical adaptation of Thelma and Louise.
Yes.
And you just put out a fantastic memoir as well.
Thank you. The harder
I fight, the more I love you. New York Times bestseller. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So can you talk a little bit about how those projects, specifically the book and the play, kind of inform the new album?
I think the new album was kind of like the safe space to get away from those other projects.
But there is a link, though, because I can...
I mean, there are definitely links. Like, everything influences things.
Right.
The book, not as much as the musical. I started writing songs for the record before I wrote the book. And there's a little bit of crossover here and there, but they're not, like, companion pieces or anything. The musical, I've just approached writing songs in a way I never have, like, very quickly, having to turn things around in an afternoon and writing for other people, not myself, which is a really wonderful thing to do because you don't just circle around in your own head. You really go outside yourself to serve other characters and other people. And it makes you feel really useful, whereas maybe writing songs for myself doesn't make me feel as useful.
I think that's so interesting because you, I find, are often writing from other perspectives. I mean, you're a tornado. You know, you are often taking animals and little critters and creatures into consideration and seemingly writing from their perspective as well.
That's true, but those are my characters.
Okay.
They're not like Thelma and Louise are real people to me.
Right.
And Callie Curry is an old friend of mine. And I, you know, working with her, I just want to make sure that her clearest vision of Thelma and Louise makes it to the stage.
That's amazing. And it's so cool that you specifically were tapped to do this.
It was pretty overwhelming, I gotta say. And, you know, I know nothing about Broadway, and I think that's one of the reasons that I was asked to do it. But she called me up and said, do you want to do this? And I don't think I would have said yes to something so scary for anyone else or for any people other than Thelma and Louise.
That's amazing. I think that you have a really wonderful community of friends and just people in your life, past and present. And you really hear that on this new album. And there are a bunch of friends who have passed away
mm-hmm.
who you pay tribute to on this record. And it's such a wonderful way to keep their spirit alive. Can you talk a little bit about grief as a gift?
Well, if you don't avoid it, and I think it's so much more respectful to the people who have passed to really feel the feelings. And don't try to compartmentalize it. Don't try to put it off. You just learn so much. And what I learned from all these people passing was I felt an absolute desperation to tell the living how I felt and to make tribute for them too, in addition to the people who died. Because there are so many things I wish I could have said to those people who died, or so many things I wish had gone differently. You know, that's most people's experience with death, I think. But there's also a great deal of humor and just some real next level how great humans can be things that come from situations like that.
Absolutely. And so many great things come from, I would assume, performing it live and feeling that interaction in the room and creating a space for other people to have their own stories be attached to these songs.
Yeah. And, you know, the band and I don't feel that the space is for us. I've been to a lot of shows in my life. And, you know, I remember the 90s, there was a lot of going to see bands and it's like, you stand there and be quiet and we're going to play at you. And it felt really awkward and weird. Or, you know, I remember going to see a band and the opening act got really angry with the audience because they were kind of enjoying themselves, but there was some talking, you know, and it's like, you got to understand that it's their Friday night too. And, you know, these are some of the last community places that are truly unique, you know, the music places where people go to see live music. And so you want to foster that, you know. Obviously there's times where people are being rude, but, you know, people were just having a good time, but the opening band was really upset and just reamed them. And I was just like, that's just not right.
Yeah. It doesn't feel good to be shushed.
No.
As an audience member.
No,
I have been shushed before.
It doesn't. And, you know, not that I want people to be obnoxious or ruin another person's time. That's one reason we're like, no phones. Don't film us. Don't take our pictures. Like, just put the screen down. Because that's super disruptive too. But we just want everybody to feel invited and appreciated, because it's like electricity, you know, you don't complete the circuit without the audience. If there's no one there to listen to you, like, there really is a human ability to have like this psychic connection and push back and forth between each other in a way that's really gentle and really loving. And I live for that feeling. And I love the idea that people could come to the show and, you know, they bring their sister to their first ever show, or it's the place somebody meets the love of their life, or I see little kids in the audience and, you know, I swear a lot, so then I feel bad. But you know, then I'll see moms later who are like, oh, that was our daughter's first ever show, you know, and it's so special. It's such a special place to go and be. And I, like, all the greatest times of my life were at shows, either on the stage or going to see a band. And I want everybody to have that special feeling.
Well, we have been experiencing that special feeling at the Sheen Center during this FUV live session. And Nico Case, long may you run, my friend. I want like 1,000 more albums from you. I can never get enough. And you're going to be like that little spider who I think you think it's going to take 3 years, but actually it's just like less than an hour. You're going faster than ever writing songs because of, think of this musical.
Yeah, she just poops out physics and it's incredible.
It really is.
And I'm like, you're maybe 2 days old,
right?
And you've just built a perfect physics problem in front of me.
It's so wonderful.
It is really, like, I get so offended that people, actually I'm more sad about it, that people don't connect with nature on that level.
Yeah,
people are very worried or concerned with phones and screens, and man, there's things in nature that are so unbelievably, confoundingly beautiful. I get mad that people even want to go to space. Like, man, Earth is the best. Aliens. What the, you know?
Or dive down deep. Yeah. What's underwater, man?
I know. It's so incredible.
Yeah.
Oh, don't even get me started.
All right. Well, I'm sorry if we've offended any astronomers out there.
No, well, clearly you have to edit out all my F-bombs from the me being angry at the people who don't remember that we live on a planet.
Bleep that, because it's...
Go ahead.
I think you should keep it, but bleep it. Keep but bleep. Beep, 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 beep. I love it. All right, well, let's get more live music from Nico Case here at the Sheen Center. And again, Nico, thank you so much for all of the music, and hopefully all of the music that is still to come. Nico Case, live on WFUV.
Come down, darling. Don't take me too hard. Please come back soon, sooner than you want to. It's the only thing in this whole world that would please me. I know it's selfish, but you're the sun now, and it's a big job, one you didn't apply for, but maybe you want this too. I look like the sun to you. Do I blaze freckles onto your face? I bet I bet. insist on since I found you. I'm an eruption, a wreck of possibilities, a volatility of stars. I'm closed in.
That was Nico Case performing and in conversation at the Sheen Center in New York City. A big thank you to Nico and her bandmates Paul, Andrew, Nora, Kyle, and Adam. Thanks as well to everybody at the Sheen Center and to Anti Records and Red Light Management. Thanks to John Tito Hagler for recording the music you heard in this episode, and to WFUV's Technical Director of Live Music, Jim O'Hara, who mixed and mastered this session. Our FUV Live studio sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our associate producer for this episode was Gwen Taylor. Megan Suma is our executive producer. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite album or song. Episodes drop every Monday. Please rate and review the show if you like what you hear so other music lovers can find it too. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions on WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host, Alisa Ali.